Never quite sure what Barry's going to do when we ask him to do special music, but it's always very special, and we thank him for it. That's a great Labor Day weekend song and activity. And just glad that you are here this morning. Good to have fellowship with one another, and glad Jim arrived and can take a seat. Welcome, Jim. Actually, he's been ushering and greeting and just blessing people, so... I mean, it's Labor Day weekend. We can just loosen up a little bit and enjoy ourselves together. Just have to get ready here a little bit. It isn't a bag of tricks. That'll come later. Don't be distracted by that. Let me give some background for our message today. When we started in on this series on the book of Joshua, we explained then that the promised land, as we would study through this book, would symbolize the spirit-filled Christian life. The crossing of the Jordan River via a miracle of God would represent that experience of the Christian who by faith receives the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that in response to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where it tells us, in fact, commands us, it's in the imperative tense or tone, it says in Ephesians 5, 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the scholars tell us you could translate it, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's what do they call that, a continuous present or something like that. It's not a one-time thing. It's in the very Greek structure, it's something that goes on and on and on in our lives. So in contrast to some of the songs that we sing and the images that are portrayed in that, the Jordan River does not, in our study, represent death. That's a common analogy in songs when we cross that river into eternity. And in that analogy, the promised land represents heaven, but it can't, quite frankly, because when Israel crossed to the promised land, there was fighting, there was warfare, there were times of worship, but there were times of defeat, there were times of struggle, the enemy was attacking, and friends, my understanding of heaven and what I'm counting on when I get to heaven, all of that's over with. So there are some very important lessons for us that we have encountered in this that helps put our lives as Christ followers into perspective through the study of the book of Joshua. And today, our lesson pops up during a time when Joshua is distributing the inheritance of the promised land to the various tribes that make up the children of Israel. They'd won the major war against the combined armies of numerous city-states. The Israelis now are the dominant people of the land. However, the fighting's not over. There were many towns and many pockets of the enemy that hadn't been destroyed. That's really what our troops today are facing in Afghanistan. You know, the NATO or the U.S. or whoever led that, the Taliban are ousted. They're not the governing people of Afghanistan today. And so the war has been won. But our soldiers are still dying. The fighting isn't over. There are pockets of resistance. And that's exactly what the children of Israel were facing. And the land then in the promised land was being parceled out to these different tribes. So as each of the tribes was assigned its territory, they were responsible to finish the process of conquering the enemy in that region. And today's text shows us what happens when the tribe didn't like what they got, when they checked out their inheritance. And they registered a complaint with Joshua. Well, speaking of getting something, I have a little gift bag here that I think you saw. It has an almost worthless gift inside. I'm going to give it to someone, but I know they'll be disappointed. Because I remember as a kid, you put something like that out there and you read, you know, he's saying it's worthless, but there's really a $20 bill inside it. No, there isn't. It's really small. It's really insignificant. Don't let that pretty little gift bag fool you. The gift, however, is something that no human eye has ever seen before. Now, I haven't seen it, even though I put the gift inside the gift bag. By the time that we're through, even though we'll see it for a brief time, no human eye will ever see it again. It's going to appear in front of you. And it's going to disappear in front of you. In fact, if you didn't already know something about this gift when it's revealed, you'll recognize it when you see it. You might have just, if you hadn't known, if you didn't have any background with it, you might have just thrown it away as something worthless and without ever discovering the hidden value of it. You might never realize the properties in it that make you really like it. And probably every one of us, there might be a rare exception, would really like this worthless gift. So even though it's really, really little and a gift that's worth nothing, who would like to come up here and help open it up and show it to someone? Now, Andre, you're too old. Now, the children got activity box. I was ages 2 to 9. So how about somebody just a little older than that? Is there anybody that would like to do that? Chelsea, you look like a good candidate. Would you like to come and help me? Terrific. Terrific. All right. Now, Chelsea, are you ready to be disappointed? How many times have I said it's so little and it's just virtually worthless, so get ready to be disappointed at this gift that I'm going to give to you. Okay. All right. She's ready to do this. Would you reach in then and take out one of what's inside there? Aha. What is it? A peanut. All right. Almost worthless, right? By the way, do you have a peanut allergy?
No.
Oh, good. That could have been a big problem. Now, Chelsea, just think. If that hadn't been roasted, it's been roasted, so that probably ruins this. But if you had found a peanut that hadn't been roasted, you could plant it and grow more peanuts. Wouldn't that be exciting? Yeah, okay. All right. And if you grew more peanuts and you planted those, in a little while you could have a whole field of peanuts.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. You could be a peanut farmer. Yeah? So, you know, even though that one isn't worth very much, just think of what could happen with one single peanut. But I said that I was giving you something that no human eye had ever seen. Have you figured out what that is yet? No human eye has ever seen it. And I've already given it to you. No? Okay. It's a trick question. It's what's inside that peanut. You know what's inside there, right? Have you ever cracked open a peanut? No? You haven't? Okay. I think maybe your parents are disagreeing with that. But just in case, this is a really important lesson in life. There are good treasures hidden inside, rough-looking little things like that. Do you know how to break that open? That's right. You have to squeeze on one end of it. I put this wooden tray here so that we wouldn't create a big mess for Eric. And we're hoping that stuff falls on that. But if it doesn't, we can live through that. Can you break that open for us? Ah, good. So now catch the peanuts. Okay, good. I have seen something that no human eye has ever seen before. And so is Chelsea. And she can see the second one. And I think you're going to have to crack a little farther. You're getting it. There you go. Is that little feller going to come out yet? There it comes. Here we go. All right. Two of them. All right. And, is that right that no human eye has ever seen that before? You don't think so? I can assure you that no human eye has ever seen that before. And would you do me a favor? Do you like peanuts? Oh, no. So you really don't want to eat that. Oh, Eric, I should have had a glass of water this time. You know what? No human eye is ever going to see it again. Thank you very much, sweetheart. Was I right? Yeah. Thank you, Chelsea. You know, as we look at today's text, I'm just going to adjust this a little bit. There we go. As we look into today's text, there were two tribes of people who felt like their inheritance was like a peanut. They thought it wasn't very valuable. And you could tell by Chelsea's reaction, she didn't think that was very valuable either. They didn't think that the worth of the land that they had received was up to what they deserved. So Ephraim and Manasseh brought a complaint to Joshua. And it took Joshua to break open the shell, to break into what they had seen as not very worthwhile, to go for the hidden value of it, and to get them to appreciate what they really had. Now, we need a little history in order to break open this passage for our understanding. Let me do a little pop quiz here. How many tribes of the children of Israel were there? 12. Good. Which tribe was not given land but told that the Lord God was their inheritance? The tribe of Levi. He moved to the head of the class. How many tribes does that leave that got land? 11. And yet the land was divided into 12 parcels, with each parcel going to a different tribe. How could this be? Well, there is actually one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Remember, Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, so they were the children of Israel. There's one whose name was never used as the name of a tribe. It turns out that it is because of the great hero of the faith, Joseph. He was one of the 12 sons of Israel. And remember, he was the one that dreamed that his brothers would bow down to him. What did his brothers do in response to that? Sold him off to slave traders. And eventually he ended up being prime minister of Egypt. One of the great stories of the Old Testament. Joseph ended up saving everybody of that whole eastern area from dying from a famine. His offspring were so blessed and so numerous that they were split into two tribes, named after two of his sons. And that's what put the number of those receiving a division of land back up to 12. So check out Joshua 17, verse 17 that was read this morning. It says, "But Joshua said to the house of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh," two sons. So they received. Now track with me. As we develop the picture of what happened that led to the dialogue in our text this morning, the leaders of Ephraim and Manasseh got the title deed to their great tracts of land, and they went and checked them out. They hiked all over the land that had been given to them. And the more they hiked, the more they shook their heads and grumbled. What's the matter with Joshua? He knows we lead a lot of people. After all, God has blessed us. Look at this hill country. We can't plant crops or graze sheep here. It's totally covered with trees. Look at this plains area. Look at how many of the enemy lived there. We only have bows and arrows and spears, and they have tanks and missiles. Well, actually, it was iron chariots, but that was the tank of that day. And their attitude was, we deserve better than that. We deserve a lot more land where we can immediately plant crops and raise livestock. So, to use colloquialisms of our day, they sucked their thumbs, plopped themselves down in front of Joshua, and threw a bit of a tantrum. They had gotten a peanut, and they didn't realize what was inside the shell. Do you feel that way sometimes? About your inheritance in Jesus Christ? We can adopt the attitude sometimes that we think we're doing God a great big favor by coming to Him. And now He should provide an easy life for us. Friends, the Bible never teaches that. In fact, it's humans that dream that up and pass that idea around. And sometimes evangelists that are looking for a big offering, quite frankly. And when we start hiking around our inheritance with Christ, friends, there's a whole forest of attitudes and behaviors that need to be cleared. There are enemies with chariots full of temptations and ridicule and bombs to throw in our path. There are times we shake our heads, we want to complain to the Lord. Sometimes we simply settle for pouting. I've seen it. Look at Joshua's response to their complaints. If you're so numerous, if your land is too small, then get yourselves up into the forest and clear the land yourselves. Go into the lumber business. You can have as much of that land as you can clear. And there's way more than enough. You're not only numerous, you're powerful. Sure, those Canaanites have strong chariots, and they're tough to fight when they're in their iron chariots, but you can drive them out. What is he saying? Stop sucking your thumbs, get up off your backsides, go and possess your inheritance. Stop looking at the peanut shell. Crack it open and enjoy what God has given to you. Start living to capacity in your land. This is a great picture for us being co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Did you know that that's the inheritance of every Christian? To be a joint heir with Jesus Christ? And when we understand the gospel, that Jesus, God's Son, died to pay for our sins, when we ask Him to forgive our sins, Peter describes that as having new birth into a living hope. And, he says, as part of the same expression, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, part of that inheritance is definitely in the next life, a home in heaven. But friends, our Lord's plan for you is for you to live that inheritance in the here and now as well as have it in the future. Do you remember Jesus' words when he's using the image of the Good Shepherd to teach us our relationship to him? He describes himself as the Good Shepherd, and in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, to the full. That's Jesus' words. And so, yes, he says, he wants you to live to capacity. And he wants that capacity to be large here and now in this life. I think it's when we read abundantly or life to the full and isolate it from the whole teaching of the Bible that we get into trouble. Our worldly imagination builds a scenario of what life to the full means. I wonder what you would say if I did a survey now. As you think about life to the full, how would you describe it? Tropical island? Coconuts that just kind of drop all around you but never on your head, and you can enjoy them and eat them, food available. I jotted down some things that I think others would say, and probably I'd say as well. I think if I was living life to the full in my worldly estimation, no one would ever contradict me again. Isn't that a pastor for you? I'd get continuous raises in pay. That'd be life to the full. Everyone around me would tell me how great I am every day. Doesn't happen. I'd get every summer off plus 2 months over Christmas. How's this? Is this sounding pretty good? Life to the full? I would never have another health problem. Oh, yeah. That'd be life to the full. How about this one? I'd eat all my favorite foods and no one will ever again say it's not good for you. I just kind of wipe that out. The big problem with this, and whatever else you would add to that list, is that Jesus included in life to the full taking up a cross daily. Oh, no, not that. Yeah, but Jesus said that. He said he came to give us life to the full, abundant life, and he also said, you're going to follow me, you have to take up your cross daily. He included his own example and words that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to die for others. How is that life to the full? He said, you gain your life when you lose your life. Didn't he? It's right there in the Bible. It seems crazy to the natural mind. It seems like it's describing something that isn't life to the full. Do you see how important it is to come to know the divine wisdom that Jesus revealed to us? Because our own thinking would not lead us down that path. Our own thinking leads us to a self-centered view of life to the full, and that becomes hollow and empty. And you can track that in life after life after life. How else could we know that living to the capacity created in us by God can only come by dying to self? It's a paradox. It seems contradictory that we would even begin to understand when Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Living to capacity. It's easy for us to develop an attitude like the tribes of Joseph, or the tribe of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. We're big. We're important. God has blessed us. Therefore, we deserve better. We deserve easier. We deserve our own easy button. I've lived for God. I've served the Lord. I've held positions in the church. Why am I facing these inner turmoils, this inner anger? Why does it seem like I have more things attack my life now than ever before? These tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, were actually looking at a way to avoid dealing with the enemy. Rather, they would just live alongside of them, have bigger territory beside. Cohabiting with Satan in our lives is not Jesus' plan. And when we're reactionary, when we're upset, dissatisfied, when we're critical, it's a signal that the enemy still has territory inside us. You see, when we have new life from God, we are given an inheritance. But possessing that inheritance that belongs to this life doesn't happen automatically. And as these tribes found out. A rather stark illustration of this happened on a neighboring farm to where my wife, Karen, grew up in Gray County. Mr. Fawcett, a farmer, decided that he didn't have to pay taxes. Now, the township, of course, took him to court. He still wouldn't pay. The township eventually sold the farm for back taxes. Boy, that new owner thought he had got a great deal. What a low price. He had a fully legal title deed to the property. There was one little problem. He couldn't take possession. As they were leaving court, when that title deed had been tested in court, Mr. Fawcett said to the new owner, I'll shoot you if you come on that property. And Mr. Fawcett and his mother wouldn't leave. When the county and township assessors came to tell them to get off this property, they were threatened with guns. Shots were fired. And the assessors left. One of the times his mother actually managed to shoot her own finger off because she just kind of held the pistol wrong. But, I mean, it was a gun. What are you going to do? And then came the big standoff. It was pretty exciting for a quiet farming community. Police cars lined the rural road on both sides. Karen's brother talked to the police as he came by on his tractor and said, what's that van for down there? Well, that's the SWAT team. We're just holding them in reserve. And when the school bus came by, can you imagine them just letting the school bus drive through the middle of all of that? It wouldn't happen in this day. But rifles and shotguns were visible all over the place as the kids were on the bus. Bullhorns were used to tell the Fawcetts to come out. They wouldn't budge, and the standoff went on for hours. And finally, they convinced Mr. Fawcett to phone his Toronto lawyer, and he suggested that maybe he should surrender. And the steam went out of the standoff, and they carted the Fawcetts away. The new owner never did take possession of the land, legal title deed and all. Even after all of this, that land got all tied up in court challenges that Mr. Fawcett was able to continue to mount. As I looked at that, I thought about the lesson of today, that's kind of the situation of too many Christians. We have new life in Jesus Christ. We have the title deed. We have the inheritance papers within our reach. But we live day after day with a forest of attitudes and beliefs and relational issues that are opposite to Jesus. We have a host of any enemy attacks continuing to harass us. Jesus doesn't want us living like that. Jesus wants us to live to capacity of the inheritance that has been paid for by his blood. In all of that Jesus did in going back to heaven, sending the Holy Spirit. And remember what he said about the Holy Spirit as he was teaching before he returned to heaven. I'm going to send you a comforter, a counselor, who will not only be with you, but will be in you. And friends, you have Jesus within you. We think how amazing it must have been for those disciples to walk and talk with Jesus, to sit around a campfire at night and just listen to him share out of his immense wisdom. Jesus said, this would be better. That we can live in his empowerment. We can live in his strength. The writer to the Hebrews was dealing with this kind of thing in his readers' lives. He was saying to them as he wrote, you should be mature by now. You should be living in your inheritance. You should be living to capacity. Right in the middle of the persecution and hardship that you're facing. And he said, you should be people who, by constant use, have trained yourselves to distinguish good from evil. But he says, here we are, we're having to go back to the elementary things all over again. And he pleads with them in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Let's move on from elementary things and go on to maturity. Go on to maturity, dear friends. Let's possess the inheritance that we have in Jesus. And it comes through simple steps. Jesus didn't create a complex, difficult to understand process of being his disciples. He said children could understand it. Children were the forerunners of faith, that as we look at them, we can understand it. And it's really very simple to, within our own lives, to open our inner self to Jesus and say the big yes to him. Say, thank you, Lord. I believe you're the Son of God. As I read the Bible, as I meditate on that, I believe you paid the price of my sins. And Lord, I receive you. Salvation is that simple. Having a home in heaven is that simple. Everything else clouds that. And it doesn't have to be clouded, friends. We can press through all of the background, all of the bad relationships you've had, all of the disasters that have happened, no matter where in the world. You can press through that and clearly see Jesus Christ and respond to him and his truth and his life. Don't let the forest get in the way. Don't let the iron chariots, the enemies that look like they can attack and take away, don't let them throw you off your path to Jesus. And then, the scripture says that having living life to capacity, having that life in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, is no more complicated than receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Having begun in the Spirit, let us continue in the Spirit. Taking a step of faith to have our sins forgiven, take a step of faith to open yourself as you understand it now fully and totally to the Lord Jesus Christ and invite him in to fill you, to fill every nook and cranny, because you know what? If the Holy Spirit is filling all of your life, there's no room for the enemy. And that's the battle that needs to be fought, to not give space and time and energy to what the enemy wants to do in our lives, but to allow God in his grace, in his love, to come into your life, to deal with those attitude issues that you know plague your life, and surrender them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, I need to move ahead with this and open my life to you fully. When you clear the forest and allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow on that cleared land, what do you get? These things characterize you. Love, joy, peace. How about patience? Anybody totally filled up on patience and you don't need any more from the Lord? Kindness, just kindness. How often do we get tripped up and we're unkind to our own family, to our parents, to our children, to someone who is trying to serve the Lord in the community of faith that we belong to? Goodness, faithfulness, being there regularly, following through, gentleness, self-control, just grabbing balance in our lives. When someone else just lets us know that we're overbalanced in some area, having the surrender to the Lord, that we say, oh, I need to listen to this because I need self-control. It's something that's going to grow naturally as I surrender my whole life, as every nook and cranny of my life is filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. This list is the fruit that's going to show forward. And that fruit of the Spirit will flourish where once there were chariots, there were forests, those things that throw us off balance. And Lord, live to capacity, friends. Don't allow that inheritance to fritter away, to dwindle away. Claim it here and now in this life, in this fall, as we move forward for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank you that you have given us territory. As the tribes of the children of Israel were doled out territory that they could go and claim for themselves, you've given us territory. You've given us an inheritance. Lord, we're so grateful we have a home in heaven. That just settles us down for so many things in this life. But Lord, your great desire was that we would have life abundant, life to the full. And you've given us the means to have great capacity in living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, living in maturity. And you call us, Lord, to go on from here, to give our lives fully to you, to allow you to be Lord, and to go on from here in maturity, in fullness. Thank you, Lord Jesus.